It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Study in the book of Revelation. Please join us today, Revelation chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 18. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. What a wonderful opportunity we have to study the Word of God today. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, and we begin to read. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and thy charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her unto great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, I will give unto him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. What a precious scripture verse. Please, let's go to the Lord in prayer now as we begin. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come together and study your precious word. Please guide and lead us through these scripture verses as we look at this church of Thyatira. What a wonderful study. The purpose of this study, the purpose of this program, is to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ that they would be saved. So please, dear Lord, today, just touch every heart that's listening, that they will hear these precious words, and these words will penetrate the hearts of all those that are listening, that they hear the Word of God, that the Spirit of God will touch their hearts, show them that they're a sinner and they're lost and they need a Savior. And there's only one way of salvation. There is only one Savior, and that's your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for them. Please, that all that are listening today that have not trusted in you as their Savior, that today they would do that, that they would trust in you. And they begin to grow. And that's the second purpose of the radio, that we can not only bring people to the Lord Jesus, but also then that they will not be sitting there and just be on milk all of their life, but that they can enjoy the milk and grow as a child, as a Christian child, and then on to be an adult and be in service and bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to all the world. Please, dear Lord, that that come and be each and every day. And dear Lord, I just ask that you'll touch every heart, and that no one then will be without excuse when we look to this precious word. Now please, touch us today with your Spirit, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, now to take a look at this study today as we look at the Church of Thyatira. We've kind of gotten halfway through it here. We looked at the history side of Thyatira, and as far as the time schedule, and again, we have looked at this each one of these churches. We've looked at being a literal church. And we have that same thing right here. We have a literal church in Thyatira that was there at the time. We've looked at the geographic location. We've talked a little bit about that. But we need to understand, too, that it's not only a physical church of the time that John is seeing this. It is also a church age. And the church age of Thyatira is known as the Dark Ages. What an awful time. Everything at this time, that this age that we're talking about as far as Thyatira is concerned, is during the time that the Roman system of worship and religion has come into place. You hear today, unity. We need to get along. We need to not make a stand for anything. Most churches today have left all their doctrine to the side because it may offend someone. Today, to have a nativity scene in a public area seems to be appalling to most people. We've even heard that it's not even a Christian nation any longer that we live in. I don't believe that. I believe that the church has been quiet and it needs to come alive. This time here, this church age, during the Dark Ages, and we looked at the time, the schedule, I believe, if I recall, was 500 to 1500 was the time. Yes. From 500, the year 500 A.D. to 1500 A.D. is the time, and that they call this the Dark Ages. What happened at this time? They too joined together. And this Jezebel that is spoken of here in the Scripture has a goal of coming together. That's one thing that she had the power to do, was to join together. And she would take heathenism, she would take the Christianity, Judaism, she would take and she would mix them all together in the name of unity or the name of compromise. Oh, doesn't that sound like today? Well, what that accomplishes is death to Christianity, because the Spirit of God and the strength of God does not allow that. He will not stay with power and wisdom. If you want the power of God and the wisdom of God, and you want the salvation of God, you must stay to the Word of God, not mix and match. And so if you're in such a church that has done just such a thing, they have tried to compromise to meet the needs of the people. The needs of the people, my friend, is that their sin is forgiven. The needs of the people is that they have salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the need. It's not a social need. It is a spiritual need. So please recognize that. Unity. Rome boasts of unity. But her own kind of unity during this Dark Ages, this time of 500 to 1500, this kind of unity was enforced with the sword. It was enforced with fire. It was enforced with putting people in dungeons. The purpose of this Jezebel, of this time, this unity, was to get Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, off of the throne. Take him away from his proper position. And if you'll notice here, when we read this in this 18th verse, says the Son of God, not the Son of Man here. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. What has happened is man has taken God off of his throne. We hear today that the name of Jesus cannot be spoken. If it's spoken, it offends someone. Well, it sure does. Jesus, the name Jesus, offends people because they do not want to recognize him as God. They don't think they've got a problem with sin. They don't realize their spiritual wickedness and they're dying. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. They need Jesus. Well, the old devil continues to work all these years to convince folks that they don't need Jesus. And the best way he can do that is to get rid of the name as well. Well, clear back in the years of 500 to 1500, they set out to do that. And during this time here of mixture, Rome has accomplished that. They have shut out the name of Jesus in his power. He is secondary now. And I'll give you an example, and I want you to think about this. I don't want you to be upset. I wouldn't mind if you're upset about it, I guess, because I want you to think about this. Rome has got folks accustomed to thinking of Jesus as the Son of Mary. And that's how they pray. They pray to Mary. What has that accomplished? That has taken the Lord Jesus off of his throne and has put Mary above. Mary is an earthly woman. I believe she was a godly woman that God could use, but only to bring the Lord Jesus into this life with give him a body. That's her only purpose. That was it. She is nothing in superior power or strength. But you see, if the devil can convince folks in some way or a manner to get the name of Jesus removed, and oh, isn't that in the news today? Don't we hear that constantly? You can speak of God this or God that, or you could speak of any other religion but Christianity. And the reason they don't like Christianity, because Christ is in the name. Jesus Christ. We need to stand up boldly. We need to stand up with strong words, and we need to stand against the enemy if we want to save the church. If we want to save an opportunity to be able to come together and worship, we're already hearing that they have to have a permit to have a Bible study. It's all in the works of the devil to take away the opportunity and freedom. How long will we be able to proclaim the gospel across the airways? How long will we be able to do and have the internet and be able to proclaim the word across the internet, across the world? How long? They went against Jesus back in the time of the church of Thyatira, and Jezebel did it through compromise. And to be politically correct, we've got to compromise. I refuse to compromise. I stand upon the Word of God. I stand with the old King James Bible. I love it. I'm not leaving it. Stand for the Word of God. Would you like to see here just a little bit more when it says that he is the Son of God? The Son of God is the foundation of the church, the Lord Jesus. We find is one that hath the eyes likened to a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I'm here to tell you that I don't need to bring judgment against these false teachers. God will. God will bring judgment against them. He will bring perfect judgment against them. Every system, every individual that stands against the name of Jesus, that stands against the God Jehovah, the eye of judgment and the feet of judgment will come and will destroy. I don't have to worry about it. But I do have to be busy proclaiming the Word of God. Jesus saves. You want to know how much love Jesus has for you? He died for you so he could save you. That's how much he loves you. People today use that word love to compromise. We've got to be politically correct. The love that Jesus has shown us is the greatest in all the world, greatest that ever has been presented when he died on the cross. Didn't die there for himself. He died there for you and for me. Please come to Jesus and be saved. Eye to see it, the flame of fire. The feet to stomp it out of existence, the pillar of fire. Judgment. Judgment's coming. We look here at this 19th verse now. The church of Thyatira, these things, this is verse 18. These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Then he comes, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and patience. Remember who he is talking to? He is not talking to the church in general. He is talking to the believers. That's who he's talking to. So understand that here. I know thy works. I know what you're doing. Just a handful of people in this liberal church, this unified church to the world, and yet God speaks to them. The Lord Jesus speaks to them very specifically and very clearly. I know thy works. I know what you're doing. I know your charity or your love. I know the service that you do. I know your faith. I know thy patience and thy works. And I know you're growing, because it says the last to be more than the first, even under those conditions. Even under those conditions. And those conditions today are growing. You know, we need to see, because James chapter 2, verse 18 tells us, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. In this 19th verse, Jesus saw their faith because they had works. What are you doing? How are you busy in serving the Lord, praising the Lord? They had six words here of commendation, of good things that he's speaking of here. The first, he says, works. The credentials of real believers. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, then you need to stand for him. Don't stand in compromise. Stand for him. Stand for the Word of God. Now, that's not politically correct. And if I ever become politically correct, I need to get out of the pulpit. I need to stop preaching the Word of God. Because there is no way to compromise so much and still call yourself a true believer. So you see, we need to show who we are and what we are. Do that by actions and by voice. The next is charity. The word charity there, again, is love. It was a church of love despite the fact that they had turned to all these rituals they were doing. So it was the core, the handful of believers that were still staying true to the Word of God under much persecution. Next we have service. It's the ministry. It's the ministry that's there. The work. Faith is the next that's listed in this verse of Scripture. Faith, it's been said, and it's a wonderful example, faith is the mainspring that turns the hands of work and love. You need to believe that the Word is true. You need to believe that God is the God of knowledge and wisdom and love and salvation. And the freedom that I have. They speak of a bondage when you would follow such a God. There is no bondage. I have been set free. and my God has done that for me. So we have, I know thy works, thy charity, thy service, thy faith, and last, thy patience, the endurance during these dark, dark days. Thy last works are greater than the first. Again, they are increasing. How about you? The older you get, are you decreasing in your work? Oh, your work will change. Maybe you can't do physically what you were doing before in service to the Lord. But you can pray, you can help folks, you can talk to folks, you can write. There's so many things that you can do to lift folks up. Please do that. Please do that. Please try to always lift somebody up. You want to feel good, you don't have to go out and buy some piece of equipment or some item to make you feel good. Go help somebody. Go help somebody. Bring the name of Jesus to them. Tell them Jesus saves. Show them thy works. Please, as James was telling us, actions, actions. On to verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. At 20th verse, Jezebel brought paganism into the northern kingdom of Israel. In this local church, there must have been a woman that was equal to her, equal in reputation. Compromise, compromise, compromise. Unity, we've got to get along. I don't compromise. I don't belong to the ministerial alliance. Because you see, many of those that come and attend and are members of that do not believe in the Word of God. They do not follow the Word of God. They have a social group. They don't preach the Word of God. They do not stand on the Word of God. They do not stand on salvation alone through Jesus Christ and no other works. Most churches today, it's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, believe in that, plus works. Most churches believe you can lose your salvation. The Word of God is very clear that once you come by faith to Jesus, Jesus keeps you. You see, I have nothing in common with them. Well, what has happened is this Jezebel, or someone that's very similar to Jezebel, equal to Jezebel, has come into the church and been accepted. They didn't want to throw her out. Maybe she had a pretty good group of followers, a lot of money, and so let's come in. We can pay the preacher more. We can do this ministry. We can do that ministry. But boy, if we don't, look what we have to lose. Well, if you do compromise, look to see what you have to lose. Because you've got a lot to lose. And if you stop preaching the gospel, stop standing for the truth, maybe you're saved. Maybe you're going to go to heaven. Maybe you're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. But how about your children? And how about your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? How long will it take for you to see and to watch the change because of the compromise that you allowed in the church? Well, that's the problem here, because this compromise came in. These pagan practices, this idolatry, was mingled with Christian works and worship. They brought it together, and we have that today. They worship the virgin child. They follow practices, many practices, that are not in the Word of God. One practice that was started back at this time was purgatory. That practice was started. Also, the power to one man upon this earth. The only man that needs to be praised is the Son of Man, Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Not any man. Whether it be some preacher or the Pope, or whoever it is, does not deserve to be bowed down to. our Lord and Savior, He deserves our honor. He deserves our blessings. He deserves all our efforts. He deserves it. No man. They were seduced, the Scripture tells us. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which is called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. She professed in the assembly, in the church, at Thyatira. She taught with authority. And as she taught, she began to seduce the minds of the people and train them to follow her instead of following Him who stands in the midst of the church, which was the Lord Jesus. That's what's happened today. Let's follow some ritual. Let's follow some tradition. We don't really know where it come from or really what it's made of, but I feel so good when I do those things. My friend, look to the Word of God and see if it's there. If it's not, rid yourself of that, please. Please. Today, Rome cries, hear the Mother Church. When Rome says the church, it doesn't mean the church that Jesus Christ is the head of. It means the Roman system. Now, if you're a part of that, I want you just to ask God to show you the truth. I want Him to show you the Church of Rome is the church, and all of the churches and denominations are not correct and are definitely in error. That's how they look at us. I go to the Word of God. I don't go back to a time of Jezebel. I look to the Word of God. Rome claims to be the church. Rome claims to be the authority. Rome claims to be infallible. Rome dreads the light and fears the Word of God. So you see, you're in tradition, compromise. It all started back here in a little church of Thyatira. She teaches them and seduces them to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Realize and recognize today, my friend, Rome leads great masses to follow Mary instead of following the Lord Jesus Christ, to pray to Mary instead of to the one mediator and intercessor. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a couple verses of Scripture here, and we just have a couple of seconds left, and I don't know if I have enough time here, but I want you to see them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That man is Christ Jesus, none other. Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. No man can do that, my friend. Please, please, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I ask each and every time, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?